صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح يا فتاح يا فتاح. الحمد لله. Yesterday night, our Hufadha Ikram recited in the Taraweeh prayer the last three quarters of Juz 17 and the first half of Juz 18, in which they completed the recital of Surah Anbiya. They completed reciting the entire Surah Hajj. They completed reciting the entire Surah Mu'minun, and they began Surah Nur, from which they will continue from today. Surah Anbiya is the 21st Surah in the Holy Quran. It means the prophets. So like the previous few Surahs, it is thought to be revealed in the middle Makkan period, meaning before the Hijrah in Makkah Mukarramah. And therefore we see that it presents Tawheed and the truthfulness of the Risala of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it also gives answers, as the previous surahs did, to the various excuses that the mushrikeen would give for not accepting Iman. By reminding of the incidents of the previous prophets and giving the outcome of accepting or rejecting the message, the surah encourages the mushrikeen to accept the truth. So you will recall that the later Makkan surahs were more warning and refuting in nature, and the middle Makkan surahs revealed in Makkah Mukarramah are more encouraging, answering of doubts, and give vivid descriptions of the previous prophets and even of the Akhirah. So Surah Anbiya has three major themes. The first, in the first 40 ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His greatness, His sublime qualities, and gives answers to the doubts and the questions of the mushrikeen with regard to the prophethood of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The primary message in these 40 ayat is of Tawheed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is worthy of worship, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the true Nabi of Allah, and that we should follow and take guidance from this book, meaning the Holy Quran. For example, in rejecting the da'wah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mushrikeen claimed that a messenger of Allah needs to be an angel and not a human. So Allah replies to this objection in ayah 7 and 8, saying, "Before you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have sent as prophets only human beings and not angels, to whom we have sent revelation. So ask those who have knowledge," meaning knowledge of the previous scriptures, "and if you do not possess any knowledge of the subject, we have not made them," meaning the Anbiya, "mere bodies who do not eat food, and they do not live forever either." Meaning, like all human beings, the Anbiya are also in need of food and drink, and they also have to live a life and then die a death. So the sending of a human as a prophet is nothing new. The system is to send a messenger from amongst them so the messenger can be followed. Allah says that when the nations of the past asked for miracles and we manifested them, they still did not accept, and this was cause of their punishment. Because if a nation asks for a specific miracle and Allah sends it, and they do not accept Iman after receiving that miracle, then the matter is decided immediately and the people will be destroyed. So actually, by Allah not sending the specific miracle that they were asking for was a mercy for them. And in reality, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already come with sufficient miracles to prove his nubuwwat, and that it was their stubbornness and arrogance that stopped them from accepting the truth. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah 22, as a proof for there only being one ilah, لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَفَسَدَتَا. Had there been therein, meaning in the heavens and the earth, other gods besides Allah, then verily both the heavens and the earth would have been ruined. A person can easily understand that in worldly matters, you can only have one driver of the car. You can have only one leader, one president, for example. Or else there would be chaos, there would be fighting and turmoil. In the same logical way, there can only be one being who has authority and control over the entire universe. Or else, each would want to do things in their own way, and this would lead to the universe, to destructing the universe. So the universe in front of our eyes is telling us that there is only one supreme being, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And His control and power and authority is not shared by any creation. And the fact that it is living and it is present in its perfect nature is a sign that there is only one ilah. The second theme in this surah is in the middle verses of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recounts the incidents of various anbiya. Allah consoles Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying that the prophets before you, they were also made fun of, they were mocked, they were ridiculed. But those nations were also destroyed as a result of their ridiculing. Allah then brings to mind the event that will occur on the day of Qiyamah, when the scales will be raised and our actions will be weighed, and not a single person will be oppressed in any way. And we will see the result of every action, no matter how small. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam, that Allah gave them Furqan, that which decided between the Bani Israel, and Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was before them, who was given Rushd, the straight path and the correct course of action, when he addressed his father and nation who were worshipping idols. Allah mentioned then how he broke the idols and left the biggest one standing to show them a point that these stones are lifeless. They cannot even protect themselves and they cannot even speak out to say who did it. The incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam then being thrown in the fire is mentioned, and how Allah instructed the fire, قُلْ يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. O fire, be coolness and a place of safety for Ibrahim. So the fire did not even harm a hair on the body of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The lesson is that Allah is in control of everything. No one can harm the one who Allah wants to protect, and nobody can protect the one who Allah wishes to harm. Allah then mentions how he also saved Lut alayhi salam from the plans of his nation, and took both Ibrahim and Lut alayhi salam to the blessed lands of Sham. Allah recalls Ishaq alayhi salam and Yaqub alayhi salam, and the child and grandchild of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who were guides for their prophets, for their people, and they were commanded with good deeds, establishment of salah and paying the zakah. Allah then mentions Nuh alayhi salam, who came before all of them, and how he was also rescued in the ark. Then Allah recounts Dawood alayhi salam and Sulaiman alayhi salam, and the favors given to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah then mentions Ayyub alayhi salam and how his sickness was removed after his dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah then recalls Ismail alayhi salam and Idris alayhi salam and Dhulkifl alayhi salam, who were all amongst the patient and rightly guided. Allah brings to mind Yunus alayhi salam, who was saved from the belly of the fish upon his dua, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. And Allah mentions how he gave Zakariya alayhi salam a child in his old age. Allah then mentions Maryam alayhi salam and her son Isa alayhi salam. And Allah concludes this section by saying that this is your religion, meaning that you are all upon the same belief founded on Tawheed. But after the prophets left the world, people made divisions and deviated, and all will be called back to stand in front of Allah for judgment. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the stories of the prophets, He makes brief mention of them. But it is up to us to go and learn the story of each and every single prophet in detail, inshallah. There are many, many books you can find, the stories of the prophets. If you pick up that book, every single story of the prophet is recounted in there in detail. May Allah give us the ability to, inshallah, one day read that. The third theme discussed in this surah is the concluding part of the surah, which is devoted to stating the punishment for rejecting the message and the reward of good actions. Then Allah mentions the incident to come in the future when Ya'juj and Ma'juj are released and the events of Qiyamah will occur and the disbelievers will realize their error, but it will be too late for them. Allah then says that they and the idols they worshipped will be the fuel for the fire of Jahannam, and they will be screaming therein. But the people who obeyed and followed will be the people of Jannah, and they will be saved from even going near the fire. Then they will have no worry or fear, and the angels will tell them gently in a way of welcome as they come out of their graves that this is the day that you have been promised. Allah says to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the concluding verses that we have sent you as a mercy to the entire universe, and to tell the people that their ilah, their deity, is only one Allah. So will they now submit and be true Muslims? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to fully submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands and be true Muslims. Thereafter, Surah Mu'minun ends and Surah Hajj begins. Surah Hajj, which is regarded as a Madani surah revealed after the migration to Medina Munawwara, it contains qualities of both Makki and Madani surahs, because the first 24 ayat are regarded to be revealed in Makkah before the migration. The first few verses start with a sobering wake-up call that continues with the description of Qiyamah, as we saw in the end of the previous surah. Allah says in the first two verses, O mankind, fear your Lord and be dutiful to Him. Verily, the earthquake of the hour of judgment on the day of judgment is a tremendous matter. The day you shall see it, every breastfeeding mother will forget her nursing, and every pregnant one will have a miscarriage, and you shall see mankind as though they are in a drunken state, yet they will not be drunken, but rather the intensity of the punishment of Allah is severe. Ya ayyuhan nas ittaqoo rabbakum inna zalzalata as-sa'ati shay'un 'azeem yawma tarawnaha tadhhalu kullu murdi'atin 'amma ardat wa tad'u kullu dhati hamlin hamlaha wa taranna sukara wa ma hum bisukara walakin 'adhab Allah shadeed. If these verses do not strike at the heart and create the fear of the day that is coming, then we don't know what we will be able to revive those dead hearts with. Allah says the people who find themselves in this condition will be the ones who disputed and rejected the message and followed shaitan. But those who worship Allah wholeheartedly are not distracted from His worship by the dunya and by the difficulties that come in the way of deen, then they will be entered into paradise, entered into Jannah, beneath which rivers are flowing. Allah further says about the people of Jahannam that they will be made to wear clothes of fire, boiling water will be poured over their heads, and they will be beaten with iron hammers. Whenever they try to escape, they will be thrown back into the fire. And the people of paradise, they will be adorned with bangles of gold and pearls, and their clothes will be made of silk. May Allah make us from amongst the people who will wear the garments of silk, and not from those who will wear the garments of fire. In the next Madani ayat, Allah first recalls the origin of Hajj in the instruction to Ibrahim alayhi salam to rebuild the Kaaba and give the announcement for Hajj. Thereafter, Allah mentions the rites of Hajj and the sacrificing of animals for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how this was a part of the previous nation's rites as well. The section then concludes with the permission to take up arms and now fight the oppressors. The connection between this and the house of Allah, the Masjid al-Haram, is originally meant for the worship of Allah, not for shirk. So it should be returned to its original state. After inviting the mushrikeen for many years and their stubborn rejection, the permission is now only given to take up arms. Allah gives a logical reason for this permission when he says that if these people are not opposed, then all places of worship will eventually be destroyed. Allah also clarifies that the one who will be given help are those who, if they are granted authority and by the upper hand, they will not abuse the power, but they will establish salah, payment of zakah, enjoin good, and forbid evil. So the ulama say that the reason Muslims have not been given the authority in this day and age is because we are not yet at that stage where we have these qualities in our own life. So how will we do it when we are given the authority? In the other verses, it's clear that the first thing that we must do, we must be such that we have deen in our life. Then Allah's help will come. Not the other way around, where we ask for Allah's help, yet we fully neglect all of His commands. Just look at what happens if somebody steals a pair of shoes from the masjid. We all go out in hitting and kicking that person just over a pair of shoes. So what will be the case if such Muslims are made rulers of the entire world? They will be more concerned with revenge than the rights of the people and justice. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not bent on revenge. He entered into Mecca as a victor with humility and forgiving the people who had harmed him. When we have that type of people with that type of akhlaq, then Allah will give the Muslims the upper hand. Allah recounts Risala and Qiyamah again, and the surah ends with the verse, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ وَاجْتَبَاكُمْ وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah says to us, strive for the deen of Allah as you should fight to strive for Him, i.e. with total devotion, perfection, and without ulterior motives. He has chosen you, i.e. to be Muslims in the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and has not placed any difficulty upon you in this deen and in striving for it. Allah also instructs at the end of this surah to establish salah, pay the zakah, and hold firm to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, relying on Him alone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to follow this guidance. Inshallah, we will also cover Surah Mu'minun, inshallah. So the surah after Surah Hajj is Surah Mu'minun. It is narrated in Fathul Qadir that Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu recited ayah 115 to 108 of Surah Mu'minun in the ear of a deranged person, and the man was cured. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "What did you recite in his ear?" That Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu told him, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "By he in whose hands lies my soul, were a person to recite it over a mountain with complete conviction, the mountain would have melted." Surah Mu'minun means those who believe, i.e. those who have accepted the message of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with their hearts and manifested it upon their tongues in declaring the shahada. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then brings this surah by declaring that the mu'minun have achieved fatah and falah and success. What is falah? The scholars say that falah in the Arabic language is to achieve one's desired objective and be saved from that which one strives to avoid. So when we look back at the previous surah, it is clear what the desired objective is and what the thing that we feared is. The previous surah started with a severe warning that the last day when the earth shakes and the trumpet is blown and the day of Qiyamah is severe, this is what the mu'minun wished to avoid, and inshallah they will be safe from it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also describes the fate of the people of Jahannam and their clothing and punishment. And so too did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe the condition of the people of Jannah. So this is what the mu'minun will achieve. They will achieve safety from the fire of Jahannam, and their desire objective is to enter into Jannatul Firdaus, meaning paradise, the highest level. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then describes what the qualities of the mu'minun are, which are as follows. Number one, the first is that they perform salah with concentration and devotion, and they are the inner aspects of salah. And number two is that they do not involve themselves in batil talk and disobedience. The second quality is actually a result of the first quality. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most definitely salah prevents a person from lewdness and dislike things. It protects him from evil things. From the hadith that we know that this occurs when a person performs salah with khushu' and khudu', concentration and devotion, internally and externally. The third quality of the mu'minun described in the surah is that they pay their zakat regularly. Number four is that they protect their private parts, except with their wives, meaning they guard their chastity and they do not pursue zina-type relations. The fifth is that they are careful with amana, trust of people, meaning they do not commit mistrust and the things that do not belong to them. The sixth is that they are careful in fulfilling agreements and they do not break them. And the seventh is that they look after their salah, meaning all outward aspect of salah, meaning performing it on its right time, with jama'ah, in the masjid, fulfilling their fara'in, the wajibat, the sunan, their nawafil. Allah then says, the mu'minun with these qualities are the ones who will inherit Jannatul Firdaus, the highest level of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst them. We have already been blessed with iman, alhamdulillah. And in the first 11 ayat of this verse, of this surah, Surah Mu'minun, we have been given the recipe to get Jannatul Firdaus. Now all we have to do is apply these things in our daily lives. Surah Mu'minun is a Makki surah, so it was revealed before the migration. But it was revealed during the middle period in Makkah Mukarramah, and therefore has similar subjects to the previous surahs in establishing Tawheed through describing the qualities of Allah and mentioning the previous prophets, as well as descriptions of the last day and the life to come after death. In addition to this surah, in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us about our own creation. Allah says that we have been created from clay, referring to Adam alayhi salam, though through the process of reproduction that was started with Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam, humankind begins by the process of being placed as a drop of fluid into a safe lodging, meaning the womb of the mother. Then the drop of fluid, the naapak, the impure drop of fluid, is transformed into blood. Then it transforms into flesh. Then it transforms into bones, after which we are a completely different type of creation to that initial impure drop of water. We are a full human being and a combination of the mother and father. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, once our period of life is spent, we will definitely die. Then we will be resurrected again on the day of Qiyamah. Subhanallah, how eloquent the Qur'an is. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the heavens above us, the rains that descend, the fruits that grow, the oils that we use from special trees, the animals that we take so much benefit from, we use them for transport, and Allah mentions the ships that we also use at sea. All of these are favors from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah then recalls a number of prophets who came before as another reminder for us. Allah mentions Nuh alayhi salam and the people of Aad and the people of Thamud, Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam, and what was their outcome, bringing the point home that if you reject the final Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then we too will share the same fate. That Allah refutes the mushrikeen's doubt and rejection of being brought back to life again by the simple fact that just as Allah created us the first time, it is not difficult for Him to create us a second time. Allah then again refutes the attributing of a son to Allah. Allah says that the truth was sent via the prophets, but the people are lying when they deny this. Towards the end of the surah, the events will occur on the day of Qiyamah, and the reward and the punishment for belief and disbelief is repeated. It begins with the scene where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the kuffar, they continue in their disobedience and death will surely come to them. Then they will proclaim that once they see the truth, O Allah, please send me back so that I can perform good deeds in the life that I left behind. But they will not be listened to, as there is no sending back. So we should not live our lives neglecting the deen, missing our salah, only living to enjoy ourselves. Then when death comes, we will regret and we will wish to come back here just to say one more subhanallah. But we will not be able to. Now is the time to do good deeds and to give in charity, because we don't know when our time will be up. So we must make the most of every single moment. The first ayah, it says of Surah Mu'minun, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The Mu'minun are successful. In the second last verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Definitely, He will not make the kafirun successful. This is the eloquence and beauty of the composition of the Qur'an. In the final verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a dua to read for our shortcomings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us to say, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. This is a dua for our shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to learn and memorize this dua. It means, O my Lord, forgive me and have mercy upon me. You are the best of those who forgive. So there will be shortcomings in us, in the qualities that were mentioned of the mu'minun in the beginning of the surah. So here in the end is the prescription for those shortcomings, to ask Allah for forgiveness and keep on trying with good deeds. But remember that if we have shortcomings in fulfilling the rights of others, then we must make it up. We must fulfill their rights and we must ask those people also for forgiveness. Then Surah Mu'minun completes and Surah Nur begins, which inshallah we will carry on from tomorrow. My beloved brothers, there is over 1 hour left until iftari time. I want to encourage and remind you to use this time wisely. Do not involve yourself in futile talking and things which will bring of no benefit. Involve yourself in reading Quran. Involve yourself in dua, in some form of ibadah, tasbihat, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah al-azim. Any type of tasbihat that you know, you can do istighfar in abundance. Read salawat ala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you want to read other salawat that you know, more, mashallah. اللهم صل على محمد ألف ألف مرة بعدد كل ذرة اللهم صل على محمد ما اختلف البلوان وتعاقب العصران وكرر الجديدان واستقبل الفرقدان وبلغ روحه وأرواح أهل بيته منا التحية والسلام. These type of salawat, if you know them, the salawat that we read in Durood Ibrahim, اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Or the Durood that is famous by Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayh. اللهم صل على محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وصل على محمد كلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون. Whatever salawat it is that you know, involve yourself in reciting it. Read it in abundance. And then shortly, just before the iftar, before the azan goes. MashaAllah, people will be extremely busy at that time, vocal at that time. Please bring me a plate of soup. Please bring me some khujur. Please bring me some water. But at that time, people neglect that that is actually a time for dua. That is the time where you should be connecting your heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't worry, your khujur will come. Your water will come. Your bowl of soup will come to you. Sit there, it will come, alhamdulillah. Just be patient for it, it will come. But at that time, involve yourself in a sincere dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua for everything in this dunya, for everybody related to you, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your children. Make dua for their success in this world. Grant them a husnul khatima, a good ending. And make dua for all the needs of the akhirah, that we are reunited and resurrected from amongst the min al-nabiyyin, wa-siddiqeen, wa-shuhada, and the salihin, that we are resurrected with them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from me, accept it from you. I request everybody to also remember me, my family, in your du'as. Remember this idara in your du'as, this organization in your du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it debt-free. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant this organization the ability to provide further needs of the community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this organization as a markazi hidayah, as an organization which puts forward and pushes guidance across the entire Muslim ummah, not just to the Muslims but also to the non-Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a center where the youth enjoy coming, and we provide activities and services to them which their heart wants to join with the masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a place where every person from every nationality, from every age group, they want to come here because there is great work happening here. My beloved brothers, it's very early. The masjid is very new, but there is a great vision for the masjid. We plan in the future years that this masjid, inshallah, will provide the entire needs of the community. And this will be possible through your du'as. Through when we sit alone and we are crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, accept this organization, this masjid, for the work of your deen, that it propagates the deen, it pushes the deen further, that the people who come here, they become ashiq, they become lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they become lovers of the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They want to emulate the pious predecessors, they want to follow in their footsteps, they want to be like them, because they are their role models. My beloved brothers, for that type of environment to be created, me and you need to make a lot of dua for that. Not just this masjid, but every masjid across the entire world, that Allah accepts their qam. Allah removes any obstacles that they are facing. Allah removes any difficulties that they are facing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve the stress upon the Muslim ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala join their hearts rather than deterring their hearts and spreading their hearts apart. My beloved brothers, these are just a few points to bear in mind. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to act upon these advices. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah.